Hi everyone, it's Nico here in Sakuma Podcast. Yes, welcome. I'm so excited today to let you know that I'm here with a special guest. But before that, this episode, we did not actually pick up the topic as such. So I'm going to be chatting to Sally Hayden. Sally is an award-winning journalist and a photographer focused on the migration, conflict, and humanitarian crisis. She is currently the African correspondent for the Irish Times. She worked with BBC. She worked with lots of networks around the world. And today she's here to talk to me. I was lucky as well to find out she was in Glasgow because one of my friends ran the bookshop in Glasgow. Said, hey, Sally's here to launch a book. You want to come and have a chat with her? I said, yeah, why not? To be honest, I never heard about Sally Hayden before. But what I met is she's really, really done lots of amazing work in around the world, actually, trying to raise awareness and actually reporting about the crisis of migration and refugees. So, yeah, so I think that's what we're going to be talking about. As I said, there's no specific topic, but we're just going to be chatting. I just want to hear her experience as well of going to these countries and seeing these sad stories and, you know, fighting different governments. So I think, yeah, but before we go to Sally, I'm just going to just have a chat with you guys. Everybody, it's your first time on a podcast. It's a Sakuma podcast. It's basically we always talk about the things that matters in our communities, raising awareness for human rights, also asylum seekers and refugees as well, that our voices to be heard. I'm one of those people lived experience. I know what the detention looks like, what it's like. I know lots of, I've been here 21 years, I went through so much, and believe me or not, I'm still going through so much because it doesn't matter how long you live in this country, the rule is to torture you psychologically. Yeah, some things I'm not allowed to do. So that's that. For me, like, I'm just going to share my feelings about this moment or what's going on right now. What I mean by what's going on that now, there's two things I'm going to talk about before I move to Sally. One is the horrible things happening now in Ukraine. That is really terrible what's going on now in the world. But on the other side, some of us, we need to open up. We feel that the government, the European government or UK government, is being unfair when the way other refugees been treated. I'm not saying that Ukraine people shouldn't be protected. I'm not saying that at all. What I'm trying to say is the system was set up is wrong, it's unfair, it's really bully, and it's not good for other people. When I mean other people, I'm talking about Africans here. I'm an African. I've got brothers and sisters stuck in Libya, stuck in Greece, homeless in the UK in the streets. No one ever talk about it anymore. And what I mean people, I'm talking about the media. I'm not talking about individuals, but I can guess a lot of the UK citizens, they actually turn their eye to Ukraine crisis, which means it's okay. But you can't always abandon projects and then you go to another side. You know what I mean? It's not helpful. So what I'm saying is this. I think people should be mindful when you are there supporting others and stuff. Check first with the government. Is this system fair? Is it safe? You know what I mean? So that is that. I hear a lot of people, it's not only me, there's a lot of people out there, they are not happy about the way people were received from Ukraine or other people left behind, special Africans. We need to talk about these things. It's not like labeling, actually trying to point fingers on the negatively, but these are things we need to start talking about. So I hope people, maybe they will start next time. Like, everybody needs help in the world in the moment. But let's don't abandon the old projects. What I respect for myself, like, I live in Glasgow. I volunteer in lots of few projects years back until now. That there's so many people care a lot in this country, in Scotland, and around England as well. I mean, talk about charities and projects and stuff like that. They should keep that work going and really, it is, yeah, I respect that. But it's still something missing that there's other people think that, oh. Now, they were complaining about housing and stuff like that, but sadly now they got housing to put people from Ukraine and the scheme is not being set up properly. I don't want to go there because I have not much knowledge. So can I leave that on the side? Okay, cool. I think the other one is just, I'm just updating guys about my own feeling as a host. I need to, before I talk to Sal, maybe she can also go around what I was just saying, maybe add up something or teach us something. So yeah, the last thing I was going to talk about, another one, is the new policy that is really scares me a lot. Sometimes I think about it like, oh my God, there's a new policy that I don't know is going to come up. No, two of them. The one now, you can be stripped your British passport if you've done something wrong, or even if you, yeah. And the other one is like, people now, they're going to be sent to Rwanda. I'm thinking, someone has been traveling for 7 months and made it here in the UK or in France, whatever it is. Now, why you have to take him back to a different world where he has no idea? Yeah, I think that's really, those are people worried about this, because I can imagine on my old days when I was in detention, if I hear that, I'll be taken to Rwanda tomorrow. Even I'm from Africa, I've never been there. And again, it's not about being or not being or where you're going. The point is this, you know, it's not safe because African countries are unpredictable. You know what I mean? And again, I'm going back to the point I was making. Someone's been traveled for that long. Why you have to take them back to the country that don't, not even they don't know. I mean, say that it's inhumane. It's wrong. So these are things maybe we're going to, you're not going to hear us talk about this, me and Sally, but she's going to be talking about herself, sharing her experience and stories. And yeah. So yeah, I'm so excited. Sally, please can introduce yourself and tell us. Yeah.
Sure. So like you said, I'm a journalist from Ireland. I've been reporting for about 9 years now. I'm working across Africa, before that the Middle East as well, and before that I was based in the UK until 2016. I had a staff job, and then on and off from 2019. But the last 3 years I've been based in Uganda and in Sierra Leone, and now I'm in Dublin a bit. Where I'm from.
Thank you.
You're from Zimbabwe, right?
Yes, I'm from Zimbabwe.
And how long have you been in Glasgow?
Glasgow, 10 years. And let's say the UK is about 21 years now.
Wow, okay, so much longer than me. You know it much better than me.
Not really. You know what I mean? So I came here as asylum seeker, still a refugee as well. But I think the question I had is the whole day I was thinking about, if you've been in Africa, I don't know, every time I try to read the news, there's nothing in Africa that's been reported about people dying in the sea as such. Like when you read in Europe, they show more, yeah, people are dying on the sea. But in Africa, it seems like the government, the African leaders, they don't actually do anything to stop this happening.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a bit complex, isn't it? Because, first of all, as you know, you have African leaders that are creating that people have to flee, like particularly in terms of dictatorships, oppression in various countries, persecution of different groups, and then obviously there's countries that are, and my reporting particularly has focused on the reaction of the European Union, so what is happening, which I don't know how much awareness there is of this in a lot of countries that I've reported on across Africa, that the EU is now spending billions of euro effectively to try and stop migration, but a lot of the allegations by critics are that money is going towards propping up systems of oppression, you know, dictatorships who are empowering leaders that, you know, are problematic, who are then oppressing their citizens further. So it's obviously a very broad question, and Africa is a huge continent, you know, so there's different situations in every country, but I'd like to hear what you think as well.
I live in Europe for so long now, I've seen lots of promises from the governments and stuff like that, and hatred as well from the public and for refugees, asylum seekers. In that case, for hatred, I think it's a lack of knowledge from the people, don't know, like they never been told. The UK government, for example, always talk about asylum seekers, refugees during the election so they can gain the votes, but that message is wrong, actually. The other thing, yeah, since I live in UK, it's quite complex for me. Like every year there's a different story and stuff like that. Like for me, I think the question now is, I don't know if you know the new proposal from the Home Office saying it's going to send people to Rwanda, which means I'm really upset with that, because if I don't speak English, if I speak Arabic and send it to Africa in a different culture as well and religion, it's too much for them to take, you know. Why there if someone's already here?
And two of the sources in my book, actually, I was talking to a friend of one of them today who was saying that, so two of them have arrived this year, which means that they're at risk of now being sent to Rwanda as well. And between them, I think both of them have been on the move for like between 5 and 7 years. And a lot of that time has involved detention, you know, torture, being captured by smugglers. And finally, they just got here in the last few months. And now again, they're completely terrified. They're in hotels waiting to hear whether they will be sent to Rwanda. And like, people always ask me what to do, and there isn't an answer because we don't know how this is going to turn out. You know, I mean, I can't advise anyway because I'm a journalist, but like, they're saying, will I be sent to Rwanda? I don't know, maybe not, but maybe no one will be sent to Rwanda. But what it's doing is mentally torturing people, isn't it? And at every point after they think they've reached safety, there seems to be a new hurdle that means that you once again don't feel safe and secure. And yeah, that's like, they were saying people are escaping the hotels now. They're just going to live undocumented so that they're not taken by this policy. But I mean, the one friend of one of the guys who I was just speaking to there, he was worried about suicide. He said that this is like a big fear, that this is just too much mentally for people. So I don't know, it is a form of torture, isn't it, to have this uncertainty?
Yeah, it is. I'm a lived experienced person. I've been detention myself like 6 months. It's really bad. It's like kind of like you don't know what the next day is going to be, what's going to happen and stuff like that. But it's only me saying this. I'm not saying everybody's like me. I switched my mind that time. I'm like, I know this is a political game. They're trying to get to my mind. They know they can't do it. So you try to find a way how to survive and stuff like that. But moving to a different country, to Africa, for example, where people are flying away. And yeah, I think, again, for me, I don't know. As I said, I'm like, I'm not an expert, but I've got this feeling it's not going to work, because what about if they lose the election? The Tories, would any party like Labour carry on that deal? I don't think so. So let's have hope on that. But I think the last question would be like, oh yeah, where are you going from here? And what advice can you give people like myself doing the freelance podcast and collecting stories and yeah, share my own story as well?
Yeah, I mean, where am I going from here? I don't know, to be honest. This book was like nearly 4 years work, and I'm feeling very I just want people to pay attention to the topic, not even the book, but the topic. And so I'm trying to do now what I can to help share that message or that information. But I'm also thinking, this is just me personally, my feelings, that I would like to help people. Like, I feel uncomfortable at the same stage that I'm doing all these interviews and I'm like a white privileged person who's from a country where I have a good passport, you know, that I can travel so much. And I don't know, I'm kind of feeling like I want, like, there's one guy in the book who actually now is trying to write his own book. And so we're doing an event together in Sweden next week, and he's going to hopefully find some good contacts. It's at a journalism conference, and maybe he can find contacts to help him also begin to write. And I mean, he's writing, but you know, to get that published. And for me, I feel like partially, like, I want to keep talking about the topic, but also I need to take like a little step back maybe to help other people speak for themselves, you know, rather than being the one talking for people, if they want to do that. Not everyone wants to do that. I don't know. I mean, I think that you're doing this podcast is cool. I don't know if you have thoughts about that in terms of like what more could be done to help. Oh, because also I think this is a problem, right, with the media, that it's very wise. It's very like one group of people are creating a lot of the media, and it's great to have people like you who are also doing it. And I don't know if you have thoughts about how.
Yeah, of course. I think, like, for me, I started during the lockdown because I thought, and I've volunteered in so many projects in Gasco. And I noticed that some of us don't have families to talk to during the lockdown. I thought, okay, let's do a Zoom podcast. It wasn't a podcast. The more people listen to us, the way we talk now and stuff is encouraging them to do the same. And like in your book, I think there's so many good things that people really they can show. Yeah. For me, I think the best point would be that to see refugees and asylum seekers producing their own books.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. You know, we've always been told, tell them your story, but you never tell us your story. I'm not talking about you, I'm just like, in general, the public.
Sorry, for me, the reporting was done when people were still in a dangerous place, you know, so they weren't in a position where they could necessarily tell that story themselves because it was so dangerous for them. Like, they were in the detention centers at the time, but now that more people are, I really hope they'll create podcasts or films or books or anything, and also, people like you will also elevate their voices. I mean,
okay, thank you so much. It was lovely talking to you. And before I go, I just want to let people know that I bought a book myself. I've got it here in front of me, and it's amazing. I read some few pages. I'm already excited to go through it. So the book is called My Fourth Time with Drowned. Yeah, by Sally Herdon. You can get it on Amazon. So please, I would recommend to buy it because this is how we support each other when she goes out there trying to fight our own human rights, and then we read the book, you understand how hard work she's working on this book as well. So yeah, be supportive, and that's it. And go to www.wetalkpodcast.com.